Glad that you're here tonight, and I sure appreciate the opportunity to just share with you some thoughts from the study that you're going through. We weren't sure what the traffic was going to be like. I was trying to remember, when's the last time I came across 270, you know, during rush hour. So we left a little bit early, and we got here, you know, kind of early. So I had to take Rhonda around all of Westerville to show her all the sights of, you know, I went to school right there, and I grew up in this house right here, and then, but we actually used to live here in Westerville as well, and so we went by our old house, and it was really good bringing back a lot of memories, because I'd go through, you know, and I'd say, we know so-and-so lived there, and this is what we did, or supposedly what we did on this empty lot right here that's not empty anymore, and so I didn't tell her all the things that we did when I was growing up, which is probably good. And for those of you that knew me when I was young, I'd appreciate it if you not tell her all the stuff that you know about me too. But I am glad to be with you tonight. And if hopefully you've been able to read through your book. The lesson that we are on tonight is entitled One Step at a Time. And so, reading through this, I mean, you know, Kyle does a great job, and he shares a lot of personal stories. So it was kind of hard for me to think, well, I'm going to get up here and share Kyle's stories. So I'm going to kind of take his points, but I'm going to share some of my stories with you as well. And hopefully we'll be able to get some things out of this lesson that I think is really good. Let me ask you, and this is the participation part here. What's the most difficult thing you've ever tried to do?
Well, the most difficult thing I ever tried to do was to control my temper while I'm at work.
Okay, control your temper. Those that knew me when I was young, I had quite the temper, okay? Anybody know Mom? Knew my mother? You know, about yay big. When I was a teenager, she looked at me and she goes, "You will be in prison by the time you're 18. Because you've killed somebody." And then she goes, "But I'll kill you before you kill me." 5'1" or whatever she was, I believed her. But I understand trying to control the temper, how difficult that is. Someone else, what's the most difficult thing you've tried to accomplish? Yes?
I think probably getting this building up.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get this building up. That we were talking about that earlier as well, just when back in 62, 63, I think, the original building part of it. You're talking about this part, though? Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you ever want to quit?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Kyle in his book talks about the idea of running a marathon and how difficult that was, or is, you know, because he has a good friend that was a marathon runner. When I was in college at Ohio Valley, I played basketball, and my roommate was not only a basketball player, but he was a cross-country runner. And every day he'd get out and he'd take off and he would run 5 miles every day, just what he called for the fun of it, which I saw no fun in that at all. But I played basketball. I'm up and down that court, you know, and I said, "I'll go run with you. There's nothing to that." He goes, "All right, we're going to go out 2.5 miles. We'll turn around and come back." Now, this is in West Virginia, okay? And I don't know how it was, but it was uphill both directions. I don't know how that worked out. But I can remember running out there, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Why? I said, "I'm not going to make it. I'm going to stop at the 2.5 mile marker. When you get back, would you send somebody out with a car? Because this is crazy." So as we got time to get ready for the season, where we start to practice, the coach says, "If we're going to practice indoors in the gym, everyone has to run a mile in less than 6 minutes." And of course, I've been out with Greg doing this 5-mile thing, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to make that. So I thought, okay, 6 minutes. That means at the half mile, I got to be 3 minutes. At the quarter mile, I've got to be, and trying to figure out where I needed to be. And I thought, no, I'm going to be slower the last half of it. So we start, it's that time where we're getting ready to go indoors. If we had to qualify to go indoors to practice, and I take off running, and we're going pretty good, but then about that half mile mark or so, it just starts hitting me, and I think, I'm not going to make it. And I'm trugging along, and about the three-quarter mile, I look up. Of course, here's Greg, who's already finished, run back to the three-quarter mile, and says, come on, Bryant, you can make it. Just keep taking that next step. Don't be thinking about the end. Just focus right here. And this idea of taking the next step, or just one more step, is kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Because there is that, I think there's two things that are very difficult in our Christian life, or sometimes in anything. It's the first step and the last step. Sometimes it's very difficult just to get started to do something. Is there anything anyone said, I'm going to do this, and you never got started on it? We have a house full of craft stuff. No? Okay. I might be walking home tonight. But there's stuff sometimes that we thought, okay, I'm going to do this, and we just never get started. We never take that first step. Or there's sometimes where we get started, and we just said, it's too tough. I can't finish this. In Acts chapter 14, it says that we must go through many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. I'd love to tell you that Christianity is just an easy thing once you make the decision. But it's not. And Jesus never did try to sugarcoat following him and what was involved in that. But he says, listen, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to go through many hardships. And I don't know if it's true for you, but some of those hardships came close to saying, no more steps. I can't do it anymore. And so the lesson tonight has been good for me to study out. You know, when Jesus told the parable of the sower, some of the seeds never even got started. Some got started, but didn't go deep. Some went deep, but then as soon as the worries of the world and stuff came, it was over. And then there were some that went into the good soil. The rich young ruler. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, hey, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor. Come follow me. Nope. Scripture says he walked away sad. Couldn't even get started on what he wanted to do. Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus is doing that teaching about if you're going to be my follower, you've got to eat my flesh, you've got to drink my blood. And it says in there, the scriptures say that many of the disciples heard that and said, this is a hard teaching. And then it says many of them turned away and never followed again. Tonight, we're talking about one step at a time. You know, as I thought about one step at a time, I focused more, and I see this a lot in Scripture. It seems to be talking about one day at a time. Remember when Jesus says, don't worry about all this stuff? Because don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. In essence, he's just saying, think about today. Try and get through today. Trying to get through this situation. And to me, that's the step that we need to take that's very difficult. I don't know if it is for you, but to live in just today and not be thinking about tomorrow or not be worried about yesterday. You know, there's a song in the book. It says, you know, there is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay. And then this line, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. The song says, one of the great things about heaven is there's no yesterday and there's no tomorrow. It's just today. And you see, what keeps me sometimes from taking that next step today, many times, is the guilt from yesterday. And it puts a stop in my walk with Christ. Or if it's not the guilt of yesterday, it's the fear of tomorrow. And I don't know what tomorrow, this could happen or that might happen. I don't know. I know someone was asking me, this is embarrassing. Anybody follow my Facebook? Okay. So you understand. Someone asked me, what's wrong with your mind? Okay? But, you know, when we think about tomorrow, my mind goes into what are all the possibilities that could happen tomorrow? And what can I do to get prepared for that? And I get crippled today because I'm trying to get all of tomorrow's problems settled. And in reality, I'm not stepping forward today. I mean, my mind goes, well, this could happen. Well, if that happens, then I ought to do this, and maybe I ought to do this. And if I do this, this might happen. And I try to figure out all the scenarios so that if that does happen, it's not going to catch me by surprise. I'm ready for it. But there is a habitation. No yesterday, no tomorrow, just one eternal day. And I think that's what God's calling us to try and do today. In order to really make steps, in order to take that next step in my Christian life in following Christ, I need to learn how to live in today. Not in yesterday, not in tomorrow, but how do I focus in on today? Look, if you would, over in, if you have your Bibles, in Luke chapter 9. And start in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Kyle brings this out in his book. He talks about intentions. A lot of us live our lives with good intentions. And this was a good intention. This man's coming to Jesus. He says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied in verse 58, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, probably in Jewish customs, the father had not died yet. If he had died, they bury within 24 hours. So there's a chance here he's not saying, "My father died." There's probably a good chance he's saying, "My father's about to die. Let me go take care of him." Something is going to happen here in the future. Let me take care of that. And then in the other situation, he says, "Well, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." So here's a man that has good intentions of following Jesus, but he's caught between tomorrow and yesterday. He's caught between what's going to happen, what might be going to happen here soon. Let me stay around so that I can go ahead and bury him. Or he's caught in the "let me go back and say goodbye to all those that I had these relationships with in the past." And Jesus is trying to say, you've got to make a decision today. Don't let your fear or whatever might be happening in the future keep you from making the step that you need to make today. Don't go back and say, "Well, whatever happened yesterday is holding me back from making a decision." Jesus is saying, make a decision today. Live in the today. So when we think of this idea of one step at a time, to me, it's learning to live in the today. It's learning, as Paul says to the Ephesians, it's learning to make the most of every opportunity. And not lose that opportunity, don't miss that opportunity, but making the most of it. There is a difference between living with good intentions or living intentionally. Living intentionally means I have made a specific decision about what I'm going to do. You know, the scripture talks about Jesus who set out, resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He had made a decision. He was living intentionally to make it to Jerusalem so he could offer himself. But sometimes we just live in good intentions. Well, you know, someday I'm going to do this. And a lot of times we think that good intentions is a first step. Good intentions is that next step that we need to take. Good intentions are no steps at all. It's not a step. There's no activity other than say, you know, I'm going to do this. There's a lot of things that I never got started. There's a lot of things I never completed because it's not because I didn't have good intentions. It's just that I didn't intentionally decide I'm going to do it. You wouldn't believe how much weight I've intended to lose. Yet you would be amazed at me. No?
I could probably top it.
Yeah, yes. Good intentions. But those good intentions didn't lose me 1 pound. Now, when I intentionally decided I'm going to lose weight, I did. And in our Christian life, I mean, I've talked with people. Well, you know, one day I plan on being a Christian. one day. Or one day, I'll have more time for my kids. One day, we'll set aside some time just for my wife and I so that we can really have that special relationship. One day, someday, and it never happens. Because good intentions are not a step. But we convince ourselves that it is. We feel very good. I mean, I'll even go out and buy exercise clothes. And I really feel good. Didn't change anything. Good intentions. But it doesn't change anything. Until we decide to intentionally live. So I want to share with you this idea of living for today. I want to share with you, I went back and kind of looked through Scripture and I just thought, what is it that Jesus really expects us to do on a daily basis? And really, I can only find two things where we're kind of commanded to do something daily. But I did see a couple other things that it didn't specifically say that, but it seems to be included in that. As I was studying through those four things this past week, I just thought, boy, if I could get this down on a today basis, I could take a step forward. And so I want to share with you what those four things are. Number one, and this is one that's specifically commanded. But in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." We must take up our cross and follow Jesus. You see, that is intentionally living. Is making that decision that says, this is what I'm going to do. Because the idea of taking up the cross, it creates an identity for me. It creates an identity for you. And decisions that we make in our lives usually come from the identity that we have within us. We will lean one way or the other based on how I identify myself. Let me give you an example. I'm given a choice between two jerseys. One is an old, battered, torn up Ohio State jersey. The other one is a brand new, never worn Michigan jersey. You know which one I'm choosing? Because of where I identify with. Now, if you're from Michigan, I'm not saying you can't go to heaven, okay? But we make decisions based on our identity. And Jesus says, what I need for you to do, this idea of taking up your cross, it's not a one-time decision that we make at our baptism. He says, you need to pick up this cross daily. Every day when we wake up, we're going, here's my cross. Jesus, I'm following you. I am a cross bearer. And when I make that decision on a daily basis, now the decisions that I have to make throughout the day will go a certain direction. Because I have identified myself with the cross. I will make this choice. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, says, you know, the love of Christ compels us. That word compels is basically says, it leaves me no choice. The love of Christ leaves me no choice. than to choose this. You see, when I identify with the love of Christ, when I identify with the cross, and now I've got to make a decision between this and this, my choices are already made because of who and what I've identified with. And so do I take another step? Oh, look at the love of Christ. Look how he's loved me. Yes, I'm taking another step. I don't have a choice in this because of his love for me. Now, if I'm not too convinced of his love for me, now this decision becomes more difficult. Because now I'm more inclined to go, yeah, but that's going to be tough. I don't want to do that. Or do I really want to take that step or not take that step? But when I've picked up my cross, it leaves me no choice. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, this idea of saying I'm picking up my cross, it changes my view. It changes what I'm really focused in on. This scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus was looking at the eternal. He endured the cross. That's the temporal. You see, when I pick up the cross, my view goes eternal. It gets away from this material and temporal viewpoint. We start thinking of eternal. Let me illustrate something here. Can I get someone to help me out here? Someone just want to take this end of the rope? Take off for me? Okay. Keep walking back there. I don't know how long this is. Okay. I want you to envision this rope is your life span, is your existence span. This blue section here, that's the life on earth. Obviously, eternity doesn't stop, but my rope did. But you know how much time we spend and how many decisions we make based on this and not that? You see, when you pick up the cross, you start thinking of that and not this. The rich young ruler. What must I do to have eternal life? Oh, he's thinking that. Jesus said, sell your possessions and come follow me. Oh, now I'm thinking this. And his decision was based on this. I got to do this because at this point right here, I'm going to retire. And from here to here, I want to be able to do this and this and this. And we make all these decisions and spend all this time on this little section here. And not on that. Thank you, Brady. When you pick up the cross, it changes your perspective. When you identify with Christ, it changes how you make those next steps. It changes what steps you take. You see, there's been a lot of people throughout Scripture that'll take that next step, but they take it in context of what my life is here on earth, not eternity. And God is calling us to follow Christ, who for the joy set before him, seeing what lies ahead, he says, I'll go to the cross. Now that was different than what he wanted to. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to endure this cross. But for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. And Jesus says, I need you to pick up your cross daily. Because this life is going to be difficult, it's going to be tough, and you're going to have tough situations and tough decisions. But listen, pick up the cross, identify with Christ, understand the love he has for you, and you'll be able to make the decisions because that love will leave me no choice. The eternal versus the temporal. Second thing that I see in Scripture, look if you would over in Acts chapter 17. And this isn't one that necessarily is one of those commands, but you see it and you understand, yeah, this is something that we probably ought to do that would really help me on a daily basis. Decisions. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You want to be able to make that next step? We need to be in God's Word daily. This says here that the Bereans searched and examined the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. Do you think about that? I can understand tonight, you may go home and you start looking at stuff saying, I don't know if what Bryant said is true or not. But what if it was the Apostle Paul standing here? How tempting would it be to go, oh, that's Paul. It's got to be true. But the Bereans got into the Scriptures and said, we're examining to make sure that what he says is true. We want to know, before we take this next step, is it true? Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, it is not within man to direct his own steps. Do we believe that? Do we believe that this will direct my steps? Then why are we not in this more than we should be? Psalm 119, 105, and we sing the song, You guys can probably finish it. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet. Any of you ever been out in the woods dark trying to walk down a path? Have you? What's it like?
It's terrifying.
Terrifying. Does it help to have one of these? I was going to try and illustrate this and turn all the lights out, but we're not going to do that. But you know what? I've been out in the woods before too. And I've had one of these. But you know what it didn't show me? It didn't show me the whole path to the destination of where I'm going. What it does show me is how to take my next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It may not show you everything that's coming down the path, but it'll show you how to take your next step. Rhonda and I were talking not too long ago. And counting, in the last 15 years, we've lost 19 of our relatives to death. Ten years ago, as you know, my brother went through multiple cancer and transplant. 5 out of the 6 doctors said he's not going to live. My sister just completed her 4th different cancer. 11 years ago, our grandson was born with 5 different heart defects. He's 11 years old. He's had 4 open heart surgeries. A month ago, my wife and my daughter both went through surgery for melanoma. Last week, at this time, I was in the hospital. They said, you have some heart rhythm issues. We're going to give you some medication. You need to see a cardiologist. I am so glad 15 years ago, God didn't say, let me show you your whole path. But I am so thankful to God that he goes, let me show you how to take your next step. We need to be in God's word. It truly is a lamp to our feet. And we need that because it is not within us to direct our own steps. I can't make that next step on my own. I have to be convinced. I have to be convicted of the point that says, God, I can't do this. But I know you give me direction. And I want to be in your word to know how to take that next step. Number 3, and I think they told me if I don't finish on time, you guys will leave while I'm still talking, so we'll try and get through this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, not one of those that says a command, but we see pray constantly. Pray every day. If we are truly going to be able to take the next step that God wants us to take, we need to identify with him in the cross. We need to get into His Word to give direction. And we need to be on our knees praying to God, saying, God, give me the strength. Give me the power to make that next step. You see, Jesus' prayer life was not something that He took lightly. And it was obvious to people. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Luke 22 and verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives to pray. It was so obvious in the life of Jesus, His prayer life, that His disciples noticed it. And on one occasion they said, Lord, can You teach us to pray? We know the prayer, don't we? But there's one part in that prayer. He says, give us this day our what?
Daily bread.
Daily bread. He's saying, pray for God to give us strength to know how to get through today. Learn to live today. Understand that this next step that I need to take. Understand the strength. Understand the bread that you're going to need to make that next step. Learn to live a day at a time. Depend upon God to provide what you need. Rely upon God and His Spirit to strengthen you inwardly, to give you the power to keep walking. As Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You want to know how to know what that next step is? Pray for God and the Spirit. The Spirit says this way. And the Scripture says you keep in step with the Spirit. That idea of keeping in step, it's kind of a military type of thing. Any of you in the military? Do you ever have to march? Yep. And when your commander said, left, right, left, did you ever go, you know what? When he says left, I'm going right. You didn't do that? You kept in step with your commander, didn't you? Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. Pray daily that you might have power to know how to take that next step. Change is difficult. Old habits are hard to break. And sometimes we can get, again, back to this intentionally living, sometimes we can just kind of get in autopilot, can't we? And we just, have you ever ended up somewhere and you stop and go, I don't remember how I got here. And you just went. And we laugh at that. Have you ever been to church and thought, I can't remember what songs we sang. I can't remember who said the prayer. I can't remember what that sermon was about. And it's not intentional. And sometimes we just get into these old habits and it just becomes autopilot for us. And we need to stop and break that habit. We need to pray for the Spirit to truly work on our lives, to change us, to give us the strength, the power to make that next step intentionally, not just, everyone else is walking this way. But have intention behind what steps we're taking. Lastly, and I'll end with this one, Hebrews chapter 3. And this is one of those commands that I think we overlook so bad. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I'm not convinced we do this well. I'm not convinced we think this is really something we need to do on a daily basis. But taking the next step, taking one more step, isn't always easy. And I think one of the blessings that God gives us when he makes us a family is he lets us know you do not have to take that next step by yourself. And that's why we need to encourage one another daily. I don't know why this is happening at Dublin Powell, where we're at right now. On May 2nd, we have a lady that grew up in a home that was kind of tough, and so she went, and most of her upbringing was at the hands of her uncle and aunt. On May 2nd, this was the family with the carbon monoxide just north of here that the whole family died. And Amanda's just devastated. On June 1st, Steve Smith got a call saying, hey, your mom's not doing... had a little bit of issue, we're going to take her to the hospital. He went up there. They got her, says, okay, she's fine, you can take her home. As he's leaving, she has a massive stroke, and she dies. On June 24th, we have a man, Dave Casto, in a wheelchair with ALS. I love this man. He passed away on June 24th. His wife and his daughter attend with us. His daughter was married, living down in Nashville just 3 years ago, and her 36-year-old husband drops over dead. And now, just a few weeks ago, her father dies. On July 5th, one of our elders, his wife and family, were down at Lake Cumberland. With his family, a daughter and their family, they'd been out on the boat. They come back in, they sit down, and their son-in-law drops over dead, sitting in the chair. In the arms of his wife, in front of the children, on July 21st, a young man started worshiping with us. His name's Brett. When he was younger, he had a terrible one of the four-wheeler accidents. Didn't think he was going to live, but his grandmother nursed him back to health after getting out of the hospital. He went home to spend some time with her on July 21st, and she passed away while he was there. On July 30th, a man my age, his daughter also worships with us. gets a call that his son has gone into the hospital. He's bleeding internally. Within a couple of days, he passed away. This past Monday was his funeral. A few years ago, this same man had another son, Jonathan, sitting in his apartment, sitting on his couch. And someone in the apartment adjacent to them had a gun that he was messing with, didn't realize it was loaded. It went off, it went through the wall, hit Jonathan and killed him. And just 2 days ago, he has to bury his second son next to his first son. Tonight, I get a text from a man who's not a member, but his mother is, saying, "Brian, we need your prayers. They've just taken Mom to Riverside, and this may be it." I told the church, I don't know why all this is happening to us in these last few months. But I do know one thing. It's an opportunity for us to love and encourage one another daily. Because we have a congregation right now that's having a difficult time taking that next step. And oh, if they had a brother or a sister with the arm around them saying, "We can do this. We can do this." Rhonda and I have been there. 3 years ago, we get a call, and our 36-year-old son passed away in his sleep. I didn't want to take another step. I couldn't preach anymore. But it went deeper than that. There was actually a part of it that says, I don't know that I want to preach anymore. It's not that I stopped believing up here that there is a God. I was having a difficult time here saying, I want to put in a good word for him. But I had brothers and sisters to say, you don't have to take that next step alone. I challenged the church out at Dublin Powell. I know it says daily, but I challenged them in the month of July. Fulfill that command. And I encourage you to do that as well. Encourage one another daily. I'm sure within this congregation there's people that are hurting. I would venture to say within this room tonight, there's people that are hurting. There may be people having a very difficult time saying, I'm going to take one more step. And what they're waiting for is a brother or sister to say, I'm there for you. I'm praying for you. Let me hold your arms up. Let me help you take that next step. I challenge you to encourage one another daily. And if we just take that next step, and then I take that next step, and then I take that next step, and pretty soon I'm where I need to be. I'm not trying to jump from here to there. Just trying to take that next step. Learn to live today. I don't know what your next step looks like. But identify with the cross and the love of Christ daily. Spend time in His Word daily. Spend time in prayer daily. And encourage and be encouraged daily to take that next step. Let's pray. Father, it is difficult at times to take a step that emotionally maybe we don't want to take. Father, I'm sure that the step that Jesus took to the cross was not easy. Help us, Father, to be encouraged and motivated by the love that He had for us. Father, You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Forgive us when we're not in that Word. Forgive us, Father, when we're not using Your Word as a lamp to our steps and our feet. Father, forgive us when we think that we can accomplish this by our own power. Help us, Father, to pray daily for Your guidance, for Your strength, for Your wisdom, to know the steps that we need to take. And then, Father, help us to understand the wonderful family that You've given us. And help us to see beyond ourselves, to realize that there are others having a difficult time taking a step. Help us be sons and daughters of encouragement to them. And I know, Father, when we encourage others, we will be encouraged ourselves. Father, You've asked us to follow You. You've asked us to continue to keep taking steps. Give us the courage, Father, to take those steps. Give us the strength, the power to stop whatever we need to stop that's holding us back. Give us the love and the insight and the conviction and the faith to truly walk and step out on faith. We thank You for Your love. I thank You for these people here. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that's having a difficult time taking that next step, may they see Your love. May they see Your Word. May they feel Your power. And may they feel the love of one another. Thank You for loving us, Father. And we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.